The Beautiful Game, a podcast from the Compass Network.
The Beautiful Game is back with its first episode of 2014. The new year promises a fantastic conclusion to the Premier League, more and more manager sackings, and a World Cup in Brazil, assuming they can finish building the stadiums in time. I'm Kyle West, your host this week, and I'm joined by Dan Taylor and Pete Gaskell. Gentlemen, let's talk about Man United. Pete, is there officially a crisis at your club now?
Not sure you can say a crisis. I think it's just a case of not living up to expectations. Massively not living up to expectations. But I think now it's just a case of shoot as high as possible. I don't mean, aim for the crossbar, but which you won't know from recent performances. But to be fair, it's a case of Moyes, to some extent, not having the squad he wants by any stretch of the imagination, and not having the ability seemingly to sign anyone he wants either. So it's an aging, creaking squad sort of limping towards the finish line more than anything.
I've always insisted throughout a couple of years, about United's squad not being good enough. But this whole excuse now is getting really thrown around that Moyes hasn't got the players. Yada, yada, yada. I'm not being funny. Moyes had the whole summer.
Yeah.
To identify.
He went on holiday for a month.
He could have got players in. That's not a viable excuse for him. He's meant to
probably
be,
went on holiday for a month. That was an excuse. Damnation.
The fact that he should have signed new players. I mean, why didn't he? This is an experienced manager. Everyone talks about his experience. How he stays at clubs a long time. He's the next Man United manager. How did he not go there and realise this squad isn't good enough?
Maybe he didn't think it was. If he arrived and then went immediately on holiday, which it seems, he probably sort of thought that the squad's pretty strong because it's the same squad that won the title last year, which is a fair assumption generally. But then obviously he came back, realised it wasn't, panicked. Also, I think sights were set too high. The players were rumoured to be after Ronaldo, Bale, Fabregas. They're all players who were massive, massive signings, and obviously none of them arrived, or even came close to arriving. I mean, it became a scramble. So,
in truth,
I think he needs to lower his sights and get good, solid squad players rather than go for a superstar.
But I don't think United really sign superstars anyway, do they? Who have they really signed?
Van Persie was a superstar. And then
he was, though? Was he superstar?
Yes, he was. I think he's been a worldwide superstar for a few years. I think the previous one before that would be probably looking at, well, weirdly enough, Juan Sebastian Verón.
Yeah. But,
that didn't work out well. I mean, obviously, it was Cantona. It was a major superstar. But they tend to get players on the cusp of becoming superstars, and then obviously push on to the next level.
I don't think David Moyes can be totally blamed, though, for the signings not being, got over the line in the summer. Ultimately, he's got a director of football there who's supposed to do that for him. And yeah,
as he's also new, said, so that's an issue.
Yeah, he's new himself. So I guess this summer, or the summer just gone, rather, was a learning curve for the club and, for Moyes and Woodward as a team. And unfortunately, they just didn't get in the people that they wanted to. They were clearly chasing people. It just didn't quite happen. And that's, particularly as a Newcastle fan, that's an excuse I've heard quite a lot over the last few years. And I'm sure it's true as well of Man United last summer. And I'm convinced that they'll try and put that right in January and then in the summer to come.
Are Man United playing well? Do you enjoy watching them play?
No. I still watch them play because that's part and parcel of being a football fan. Of course it is, but in terms of enjoying their play, no, definitely not. Occasionally, we play some fluid counter-attacking football. That is good to watch. I like that a lot, but that tends to be in Europe.
But he's
more of a cautious manager, and that's just how he likes to manage his teams. You can't argue with that.
No, he's done well at Everton, but do you perhaps think that, although, they wanted another manager who could give him years and years of stability, do you, in a sense, think, actually, maybe that was wrong for Man United, maybe Man United need to come into the modern era of football and appreciate that, you can't really keep a manager for 15, 20 years anymore?
I don't see why not. If you have the opportunity to keep a manager for a long time.
You show me now a club apart from Arsene Wenger's. Again, he's from a different...
Well, ultimately, Jose Mourinho's come
3 back.
3 years
at a club, though, at a time that Mourinho does.
Well, yes, but that doesn't mean... Because other sides don't, doesn't mean that United can't. I mean, United have had times of long managerial reigns and times of short managerial reigns. It's just how it rolls.
But what was Moyes hired on, Pete?
Moyes was hired because, and to be fair, you can't argue, because we all said when he took over that he was the right man for the job, because he was the closest thing to Ferguson when it wasn't Ferguson.
Yeah, I agree with that, yeah.
And I think he probably still is.
Yeah, I agree.
But maybe you needed something completely different.
Maybe, but I think continuity was what was wanted, and that's probably where he came in.
But you say that, and then he got rid of all coaches.
Well, yeah, we didn't expect him to do that, but he did. Continuity in the sense that it won't be a massive sea change.
What about the players, though, Dan? Do they have to take some accountability? Evra has been awful.
Yeah.
He's out of contract at the end of the season, so presumably we'll find out this month if he's agreed a deal to move on. Van Persie, when he's played, hasn't really looked great. I think the two best players have probably been, what, Rooney and... Cleverly, he's trying. He's not very good, but he's been trying, hasn't he?
I'd
say personally, it's about 8 to 10 players will be leaving in the summer, and amongst them will be Giggs because he will retire.
What about David Moyes' comments? Every game now, he's
complaining about the ref.
He's having a go at the ref. He's not criticising the players in any way. He says that they think they're playing good enough. And I don't know the exact quote he said after the Sunderland game, but he actually said, "We're all actually laughing at them now," and he was referring to the referees. And I thought that was one of the worst comments I've ever.
It's foiling, isn't it? He's falling into that horrible trap of a manager where it's blaming everything but himself. And I don't know if he should take some of the blame himself or if he should blame the players. But blaming the officials is the easiest get out possible, isn't it? It's right up there if I didn't see the offside.
Yeah, Dan, do you think Swansea should take confidence from their win in the FA Cup, or does that not really mean anything going into this game?
I wouldn't say it means that much, no. They've got to look at it as that, as Pete said before the podcast, Man United won 6 before their defeat of Tottenham. So, you know, they've got reasonably good form going into this game, where Swansea have been a bit indifferent. You know, it is Man United, and they are at home. So, you know, you can't really predict it. I think it's difficult. I would say a draw is probably the most likely scenario at this stage.
So what score are you going for then?
Probably going to go 1-1.
Hey.
I'm going to say if Rooney's back, that'll be the difference. I'm going to go 2-1 United.
Infamous writer, mentor, chicken lover and self-proclaimed man-child, Tony Black presents The Black Hole.
For me, he's the new Steven Spielberg.
A podcast exclusively on the Compass Network.
There are usually things happening that thrill me, and possibly you, at the same time. And just enjoy it for what it is, enjoy it for the escapism and the simple fun. That's a tall order, because I probably think I'm far more entertaining than I actually am.
To tune in, go to thecompassnet.com or search The Black Hole in iTunes.
Well, stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
Been a lot of big changes at Cardiff City over Christmas period. Obviously, former Man United man Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is now he's the new manager. Are we surprised by that appointment?
Oh, he was one of the names that was mentioned right from the beginning, wasn't he? And to be honest, he's done really well in Norwegian football. I know that's sort of damning with faint praise almost, but he's a young manager with drive and ambition, which is very, very different to Malcolm Mackay. So I'm excited to see how he does. I think he'll get Cardiff playing a lot more expansive football.
Yeah.
And you do have a place to do it.
Well, yeah, and he's signed a couple of players now as well.
He's bringing in a few, and he's obviously, Vincent Tan has been very kind to him for once, and given him some money as well, so we'll see how he goes.
Malky Mackay had plenty of money, and he overspent and didn't get the players he should have got, so I'm not a Malky sympathiser.
He did get Gary Medel, though.
Yeah, but you got a club. It's been said that Sevilla only wanted $6 million for him, and we paid $10 million. So just to be sure, we'd get him. Yeah, Medel was a good sign, so it's called good. But otherwise, I think Solskjaer will probably use some more of our attacking players, and utilise them a bit better. Because Malky never wanted to. He was afraid of being on the other side of the halfway line. So it'll be interesting to see how we do there. We obviously, beat your team, Dan.
Yeah.
Newcastle in the FA Cup.
As I said, right on Twitter, ultimately, ever since Ashley's taken over, we've not gotten past the fourth round of any domestic cup competition. The reason for that is because, you know, there's no European qualification at the end of it, you know, in terms of Champions League, and there's no real money to be got from it. So, and Ashley's a businessman. He's not interested in that competition. And that's sad from a fan's point of view, but ultimately it's unrealistic for our fans to think that we're going to proceed, you know, to go far in a domestic competition.
Okay, Dan, I'll put this to you then, okay? I'll take a point on board. But if they made a point of saying, we want to win this competition, we're going to do everything we can to win it, yeah? Yeah. Got a third round home game against the Premiership Club. You would then sell, they only have 30,000 there, I think. You'd sell the extra 22,000 tickets. Yeah, you got all that ticket money then, because it's all, you get 50%, and it's, I think, to keep as the home team. Is that not better than not playing on the weekend? You say there's no money in it, but surely they'd make a profit from the game.
Yeah,
but as a businessman, I'd want to make profit.
Yeah, but at the same time, he wants to get the highest league position possible, because that's where his real money is going to come from at the end of the season. And ultimately, there is a congestion issue with fixtures. Both cup competitions and European competitions. It is tiring squads out, and we haven't got the depth that's needed to rotate like some teams do.
Pete, you're a Man United fan.
Yes.
Who win trophies all the time.
Used to.
Yeah. You'd want the FA Cup, wouldn't you? You haven't won it for 10 years, I think, is it? But you'd want it.
Hell yes.
Pete, just go back to Cardiff City then. Do we think they, with the new manager, do we see them staying up?
I think there's worse teams out there than Cardiff, definitely. I mean, we don't know. No one can tell. New manager comes in, it could have either effect.
I think it's going to go well. As a Cardiff fan, I would say that I was very confident coming up that we weren't going to go down. At the start of the season, I was very confident. But then, I don't think any Cardiff fan anticipated how negative Malky was going to play. Like, he was already negative enough, but I don't think anyone anticipated that he was going to make us play the style of football we were. And suddenly, I feel like we're embroiled in a relegation battle now that we would have been sitting just above of.
I definitely think there's four or five sides I could name like that, which are worse than Cardiff, or have weaker squads than Cardiff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think Cardiff would go down before Solskjaer, and I'm more convinced now that they'll stay up than before. And as I said, I didn't think they'd go down in the first place. You know, there are four or five teams that are worse than them and have been worse than this season. It's just unfortunately the way Mackay played, and you know, you pointed it out in past podcasts, is that they don't go looking for the win. You know, they're not looking to win games they should be winning. And ultimately, Solskjaer is a striker. You know, his football has got to be attacking football, isn't it? And you know, he's going to be wanting to score goals and win games. So hopefully, you'll see a reverse of that. The danger, obviously, is that you might concede more than you did in the past, but hopefully they'll counteract that by scoring goals.
Obviously, their opponents on the weekend are West Ham, who perhaps are more likely to be relegation candidates. Would you agree with that, Dan?
Yeah, they might not have a manager by Saturday. So.
By the time this podcast airs, Sam could be gone. So.
Yeah, I wouldn't have said West Ham would have struggled this season, but they, for whatever reason, Sam Allardyce hasn't done what he usually does at clubs.
Well, why did he spend, Pete, 15 million on Andy Carroll? Like, did he look at his squad from last season and think the only place he had to spend money was on keeping Carroll?
Well, to be fair, last season they weren't in a relegation struggle, were they?
No.
No, but the only person he added, though, was Andy Carroll, really. So you just...
Well, and Carroll was good at the back end of last season when he arrived, because he arrived in January, didn't he? And he played well. And to be fair, West Ham, where did he finish last season? Was it about mid-table, 12th, 13th, something like that?
Okay, well, put this to you then, Dan. If next season, if Newcastle, all they do in the summer is buy Remy...
Yeah.
Would you be happy?
No. Well, I've already said that I'd be happy if that's all we do in January, but I wouldn't be happy if that's all we do in the summer.
That's all West Ham did, though, isn't it, with Carroll?
Yeah, but it never should have happened. He had injury issues last season.
Yeah,
and how did he pass that medical? How did he pass a medical? And then a couple of games into the season, you know, he's out again. It's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense I don't know, maybe Allardyce fancies him or something, I don't know.
Is he even the star striker that they're expecting him to be?
He was good.
At Newcastle, he was good. At West Ham, he was...
He was
better than what they had, because they had a championship team.
Yeah, yes, he was better than what they had, but 50 million... Was he worth that? No, probably not. As again, particularly considering his injury worries.
I think if Liverpool hadn't have spent 35 million on him, they wouldn't have charged 15 million for him.
Yeah, no,
he would have gone for like 7 or 8.
Yeah, but why didn't they look at Remy? You know, why didn't they look at some of the other strikers that have come in this season? Why aren't they looking at Barr now in the window for a loan to get them out of the shit?
You think it would have been the first thing they did on 1st of January, wouldn't you?
Well, they signed, Roger Johnson, didn't they, from Wolves or whatever.
A championship player. Why are they bringing in a championship player? Are they preparing?
Because no one at Premiership level is going to want to sign for him because they're a sinking ship. They've conceded 11 goals in 2 games now in a week.
Are they going to be able to beat Cardiff
in his
first home game?
In Cardiff? No way.
I'm at the game actually on Saturday.
I can see you leaving a red smile on your face, Kyle.
I have a feeling we could batter them.
I'm not sure batter is the case. I don't think your squad's right cities, but Notts Forest did it, didn't they?
No, I could definitely see you pulling away with a win. I'll probably go for a 2-0.
I'm going to go for a very positive stab at 3-0.
The greatest podcast series you've ever listened to. I really do not like making everything about me. This is an explicit adult rated show. You look like you want to say something.
Yeah, I think you shouldn't be encouraging reckless drinking.
I feel really nervous now. Like, what have I let myself in for?
I'm Kyle West, and you can join me on my very own podcast series, The Kyle West Show, brought to you by The Compass Network, www.thecompassnet.com. Theo Walcott's obviously injured now for 6 months minimum. He'll miss the World Cup. He'll miss the rest of Arsenal's season. I mean, Arsenal are going to have to buy a player. With his injury, who's got a chance to step up to the plate now, Pete, to try and get in that England starting 11?
The obvious replacement is Oxford Chamberlain if he gets fed. Because he's basically the same player, just a little bit younger. But if his fitness is a big question mark as well. Andros Townsend, same boat. I'd say a surprising point I go for is Aaron Lennon.
That's
become really good
lately
under Sherwood. Under Sherwood's management, Lennon's back, and he could do some damage. He's a closest thing to Walcott, but it's not Walcott or Oxford Chamberlain, sir.
Well, Walcott's got more goals in him than Lennon does.
But Lennon's got the pace, and there's not many players in the Premiership who have that pace, are there? I mean, otherwise, I think the other option would be James Milner, who's a very different kind of player entirely.
Obviously, Tim Sherwood's taken the job at Spurs. Was this a good appointment by Tottenham? It's a bit out of the blue for me, really. I thought it's
odd, isn't it?
It wasn't very ambitious, I thought, for a club that's just spent over £100 million.
I think that's probably the point, though, isn't it? They went too extravagant with the Aspergers and gave him too much rope to, go nuts. They probably thought, let's play a bit more conservative now, as it's only knows the club. It won't spend too much money, and it will provide something a bit different. And so far, he seems to satisfy all three, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think Tim Sherwood, he knows the team very well. Both the older players that have been there, and obviously he sat back and watched the new players come in. And I think, unlike AVB, he's going to start building an 11 now, rather than just having a team of individuals that are being pulled and pushed in and out of the squad. He's going to start building a strong 11. And he's already proved that by, as we've said, Soldado doesn't play on his own. That's not his strength. He becomes isolated. And the first thing he did was give him someone in support.
Dan, who's going to win the league this season with 18 games left to go?
Obviously, at the start of the season, I predicted it would be Chelsea. I'm not as sure now that they will. I think they're still in with a chance, but it's looking more and more likely that Man City are going to walk away with it at the end of the season. I think they just look the better side. Even, with injuries to Aguero and complications with company's injuries, Joe Hart's form being indifferent, But despite that, they're still coming away with 5-0s and 6-0s and doing stuff that other sides are not even getting close to doing.
You have to say City, their sheer attacking power, particularly at home, is something that no other side is capable of coming close to. But if they can, if it, all we need to do is improve it away from them, it's in the bag, I would say. Other than that, I'd say probably the closest contenders are Chelsea, because they just seem to scrap their way to wins. I mean, they've not played well since game one, and yet they're only 2 points off the top of the table, aren't they?
Yeah.
Who's in the top four for you then?
Top four as it is now.
I agree.
They're the four strongest. Arsenal, City, Chelsea, Liverpool. They're the four strongest sides consistently over the course of the season. I don't think anyone would quibble with that.
Who's going down, Dan?
Sunderland. Yep. West Ham. Yep. And then the other side I'm not quite sure about. I would have said Crystal Palace. However, Fulham look bloody awful. And it could quite easily be them. So between Palace and Fulham, I'd say.
Yeah. I think Palace have a good chance to pull out of it. I really like what Pulis has done. He's actually made him given him a fighting chance, which he never liked doing early on.
That just about rounds up this week's show. Thank you very much.
You've got some
predictions.
Yeah, I decided.
I was going to skip them. All right, let's record them. I deliberately did skip them. But...
Why? Because you've not done yours.
Yeah, I haven't. I haven't predicted any score on this show. Right, Dan, let's start with you.
Yep.
With your predictions. Okay. Hull against Chelsea.
Hull 2, Chelsea 3.
Cardiff against West Ham.
Cardiff 2-0.
Everton against Norwich.
Everton 2, Norwich 0.
Fulham, Sunderland.
Probably 0-0.
Southampton against West Brom.
Southampton 2, West Brom 1.
Tottenham against Crystal Palace.
Tottenham 1, Crystal Palace 1.
Newcastle against Man City.
Newcastle 2. Man City 1.
Wow.
Whoa.
Stoke against Liverpool.
Stoke 0, Liverpool 3.
And Aston Villa against Arsenal.
Villa 1, Arsenal 2.
Pete. Hull against Chelsea.
0-3.
Everton against Norwich.
3-1.
Fulham against Sunderland.
1-0, Fulham.
Southampton against West Brom.
2-0, Southampton.
Tottenham against Crystal Palace.
2-1, Tottenham.
Newcastle against Man City.
4-1, City.
Stoke against Liverpool.
2-0, Liverpool.
And Aston Villa against Arsenal.
3-1, Arsenal.
You can follow the beautiful game on Twitter at @soccer_podcast. You can also visit our mother website, whatever you want to call it, thecompassnet.com, where there's several other podcast shows which you've heard advertised throughout tonight's show. I'm your host, Carl West. Thank you very much for listening. Dan Taylor and Pete will hopefully be with you with us next week, unless something unfortunate happens to them to end their lives, which would be a sad day for all of us. It'd be awful that if something does happen, wouldn't it?
You prophet of doom, you.
Thank you very much for listening, guys.
The Beautiful Game, a podcast from the Compass Network.